I hope that you enjoy your time with them as much as I have. And thanks, as always, for listening. Prologue. It was night when he came back. His return washed in bright moonlight, accompanied by the crackling whispers of branches bending in harsh cold wind. He stood for a while on the edge of the clearing, making himself one with the barren trees and dry leaves beneath his feet. Standing tall and rigid as the black, dead trunks around him, he watched. It stood like an old war criminal, a crumbling shadow of its past grandeur, the stain of its evil like an aura, the echo of its misdeeds like a heartbeat. It lived still. He couldn't believe that after all this time, it lived. He pulled cold air into his lungs and felt the fear that was alive within him, too. Like the old house, his dread had aged and sagged, but would not be defeated by time alone. He made his way across the once elaborately landscaped and impeccably manicured lawn, now a battlefield of dead grass, weeds, and hedges that had grown wild, then died from neglect. The branches and thorns pulled at his pant legs like an omen. Everything about the house, even the grand old oak that stood like a sentry beside it, warned him away. But he was a part of that house, and it was a part of him. He was all about collecting the lost parts of himself now. It was time. Memories flickered before his eyes, 8mm film projected on a wall. He could see her dancing and see her smiling, see her running, her chubby little girl legs, her tiny skirts and little shorts. He could see her blonde pigtails, her round blue eyes. As she grew older, grew beautiful, her hair and eyes both darkened, her skin looked and felt like French vanilla ice cream. He could see her in those last moments before everything went bad. He heard her laughter and her screams, and both were music to him. His love for her was a ghost pain. Since they had been wrested apart, he felt as though someone had donated his organs to science without waiting for him to die. He lived with a prosthetic heart. He stood on the porch and felt the old wood groan beneath him, threatening to snap. He heard skittering behind the door, and the branches from the great oak scraped the sides of the house, fingernails on the inside of a coffin. He was the damned in front of the gates of hell. He was terrified, but he knew in his heart that he was deserving. The house was a caricature of itself, dilapidated, shedding splinters and shingles, with cracked windows and sagging eaves, every house in every horror movie ever made. As he pushed the door open, it knocked some beer cans and they rattled across the floor. The house seemed to sigh with relief as he stepped into the foyer, and he felt its cold breath on his neck. The chandelier, made of 1,000 crystal teardrops, blanketed in dust, was the central point for 1,000,000 spiderwebs that reached across the grand foyer. The crystal jingled like tiny bells above his head. The door blew closed behind him. He looked around at the havoc disrepair and neglect had wreaked. He felt a rush of anger. It was to have been maintained. Instead, it had been vandalized and looted. Sun damage had drained all the colors from the rugs and furniture, the portraits on the walls. Spray-painted obscenities screamed in black and red. He could see in the sitting room that a sofa teetered on 3 legs. But his anger passed quickly. It was nothing a good cleaning wouldn't fix.
Or a good exorcism, he said aloud to himself.
He was surprised at how old his voice sounded. A cracked mirror framed in ornate gold-leafed wood hung lopsided on the far wall. Someone had spray-painted Tracy Loves Justin, TL4, on the glass. He startled at his own reflection there. His face was masked by a long, full beard and straggling gray hair hanging in limp, dirty dreads. He wore a tattered denim jacket, filthy and stiff, over layers of equally rank t-shirts and a once red sweatshirt. He looked like the kind of man people avoided on the street, the kind people turned away from, holding their breaths against the inevitable stench. He raised a hand to his face, and his beard felt gritty and stiff as steel wool. His fingertips